Hi, we're glad you could join us for this audio history tour of Wichita State University. Here's Dr. Rick Muma, the 15th president of WSU.
Welcome to an audio tour through some of Wichita State's rich history. This tour is a great way to see more of our magnificent campus while touring the historic parts with expert descriptions along the way. I hope it gives you an idea of how we take Midwest friendly seriously, and everyone is always welcome here. Now, here's Carla Eccles to get your audio tour started.
Thank you, Dr. Muma. We'll begin the tour on the sidewalk in front of the Ulrich Museum, where you'll see the enormous mosaic called Personnages Oiseaux, or Bird People. And we'll hear more now from Bob Workman, the former Ulrich director, who has a special connection to this big and bold thing of beauty.
The summer of 78, when the Moreau mural was being installed, I actually participated. So it's been a part of my life. I was on the roof for the dedication. I was at one end of the rope to unveil it. So coming back 40 years later, being then director of the museum, Moreau is one of the handful of the greats of modernism, European modernist art. So for something of this stature to be located in the center of the United States is unusual. You'd expect something like this perhaps on, you know, a building of UNESCO or the United Nations or a major museum in Paris, but I don't think Wichita would be on people's top of their list. So it was a bit of a coup in that sense to have him. Moreau had experience producing work for university campuses before, and he was really inspired by the notion that thousands of people would walk by this on a regular basis and be inspired by it. So, you know, were it to be placed in some bank lobby, I don't think it would have happened. But in an outdoor space, in a prominent location, in an urban university in the Midwest, he saw it as an important gift, an important way to help further the goals of what we're trying to achieve here at Wichita State. The Ulrich Museum sits basically on the site of what was originally the old Carnegie Library at WSU. There are three columns from it out by the 17th Street entrance. That then burned down and an art building was built in the early 60s that was then replaced by McKnight Art Center in the early 1970s. We're on the site of the original Fairmount College. I mean, this is it. The circle that holds Tom Modernus's millipede, Millie, is really the center of the old original campus of WSU. And so the Moreau, in my mind, is basically ground zero for the 125 years of what this university means.
Thanks, Bob. Now you know this spot is likely the most historical part of the campus. We'll get to learn more about it later. Let's go to your left or west and head diagonally toward a skywalk. Just go straight beneath it. The skywalk connects the Ulrich Art Museum and McKnight Art Center. It was designed by an African-American architect, Charles McAfee, a local entrepreneur who breezed through drafting class at Wichita's East High before going on to the University of Nebraska. McAfee hurried right back to Wichita to open his very successful architect firm, the first of many success stories you'll hear today. Now, let's keep going to the T in the sidewalk just before the street, where you'll turn right. We'll take a stroll down what's called Alumni Walk. This sidewalk stroll is when I get to tell you about some of the most well-known WSU grads, even though thousands of incredible people graduate from here every year. Plus, Alumni Walk has some interesting art installations along the way. Some of our graduates have gotten attention on the national stage or international stage, like Mona Niemer, class of 77, who serves as Canada's chief science officer.
The education that I have received as an undergraduate at Wichita State University has served me so well.
Speaking of Canada, Joe Carter graduated in 1981 and played for the Toronto Blue Jays. In 1993, he hit a three-run homer to make the Blue Jays back-to-back world champions. Way to go, Joe! Another major league ball player was Antoine Carr of NBA fame, who graduated in 83. He played in two NBA championships with the Utah Jazz. He is one of only five Shocker basketball players to have their jersey retired. And all heads turned when NBA pro point guard Fred VanVleet went with the Toronto Raptors to the NBA championship in 2019. Judy Bell became an acclaimed golfer and president of the USGA, the United States Golf Association, the 54th president and first woman president in its 100-year history. But it's not all about sports. Ever been to Broadway? This WSU alum has. Hometown favorite Carla Burns, who passed away in 2021. She played Queenie in Showboat on Broadway and loved to perform right here in Wichita.
Hey, fella, I'm yours to take. Skip a little girl and even break. And if you love her, tell her, hey, fella.
Opera star Joyce DiDonato is a WSU alum from the class of 92. The internationally recognized mezzo-soprano is a multi-Grammy Award winner. New York Times calls her voice nothing less than 24-karat gold. Then there's the young man from Wichita, Torrin Everett, class of 08, who danced onto Broadway in Mamma Mia in 2014 and hasn't stopped since, with four Broadway plays under his belt. Superstar Samuel Raimi graduated in 1968 and is the most recorded operatic bass in history. He loves singing at the Met.
So it was a very exciting moment, you know, and these big doors were thrown open and I came in on my chariot. Yeah, it was very exciting. It was a very successful debut in 1984, and so, you know, after that I sang, you know, I sang there every year for almost 30 years.
Ever heard of Pizza Hut? It started right here. Brothers Dan and Frank Carney were students who borrowed $600 from their mom to make the worldwide chain happen.
The sign out there on the original building has room for about eight letters on it in the space. So we were sitting in a meeting talking about what are we going to do? And my wife said, look, let's call it Pizza Hut because it is a hut.
Here's one you might not have guessed. Bill Parcells, class of 64.
Bill Parcells to be inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Who became famous as head coach of the New York Giants with two Super Bowl rings. You might not have seen that one coming. What you should see coming up ahead on your walk, the Echo Spot. It's a circle with some built-in seating around it. If you walk right into the center of it, holler something to make sure you get the full effect. No one around you or near you can hear the echo. Only the person on the echo spot. Over to your right is Morrison Hall, where most of the administrative offices are, including the president's office. Up ahead is Shocker Hall. Let's head toward that, and we'll turn left in a sec. Shocker Hall is five stories tall, can house more than 800 first-year students, and has a 400-seat dining hall. It's one of three dorms. The others are called the suites and the flats apartments on the Innovation Campus. We'll turn left before the dorm. Now, back to famous alums while we walk. We also boast a federal judge in Michigan. Stephanie Dawkins Davis graduated from here in 1989. A CIA Deputy Director for Science and Technology, Ruth David, graduated in 1975. Then there's biological science major Vincent Gott, who graduated in 1951 and went on to be a cardiac surgeon and one of the trio who invented the pacemaker. We also have 1960 geology grad True Knowles, who became the president of Dr. Pepper. You never know where WSU will take you. Some TV mysteries were made possible by a WSU alum. Dean Hargrove brought you Matlock, Father Dowling Mysteries, and Columbo.
Oh, listen, one more thing. It'll just take a second.
Plus, the 45th governor of Kansas, Mark Parkinson, graduated in 1980. Okay, if you made that left turn, you're on the right path to our next stop, Athletics. To get there, we'll take a right on Perimeter Road, zip across the street safely, until you're overlooking a big field and the new Student Athlete Center. It's 36,000 square feet, two stories, and focuses on both the athletic and academic development of students. College sports always inspires a sense of school pride. Through the years, Wichita State has seen devoted fans and national successes. One of my favorite memories was interviewing the Shocker basketball player Aubrey Sherrod, a Wichitan who stayed in his hometown to play in the early 80s, even though he had other options. He says those experiences stay with you for the rest of your life.
And we've been able and been fortunate, really, to graduate. So when we speak to the kids today, we really mean it by saying education is very important. Knowledge is power, and that's really the key to life.
He was even drafted by the Chicago Bulls. Not only basketball, but Wichita State has also seen major wins on the volleyball courts, an NCAA baseball title, great track and field, tennis, golf, bowling, and even esports. For more on the history of sports, here's Tom Shine. Tom has spent more than 40 years as a journalist in Wichita, covering Shocker sports.
We're talking with Mike Kennedy, the voice for Shocker Athletics for more than 40 years, and the foremost authority on the history of Wichita State athletics. We're standing on campus in front of the Student Athletes Center. To our left is Coke Arena, the home of Shocker basketball. Let's start by talking about the statue in front of the roundhouse and who that is.
Dave Stallworth, who in a long history of great basketball players and great athletes at Wichita State, I think most would acknowledge is the greatest basketball player of all time, maybe the greatest all-around figure historically in Wichita State history. He came to Wichita State in 1961 and finished in 1965. And the strange thing was he was eligible at the middle of a year, and so he ended up graduating, running out of eligibility at the middle of his senior year in 1965.
And didn't play on that Final Four team.
At the end, yeah. That helped them get off to a great start. They were nationally ranked. The other thing that happened with that team was Nate Bowman, a 6'10 center who was also a future NBA player, became academically ineligible at the same time, and suddenly they went from having those two guys to a much smaller, much different kind of team.
Wichita State also went to the Final Four in 2013. You broadcast the 2013 Final Four. What was that like?
It was almost surreal. Because by 2013, so much had happened in college athletics, the power conferences really taking over everything, and there was such a gap, it seemed like, and you wondered if it was even possible for Wichita State to ever approach something like that. And so that whole run, that whole march just got better and better and more exciting and a little bit more unreal all the way to the end.
Let's switch gears and let's talk about baseball. Gene Stephenson revived a dormant program and made Wichita State a national power. That included winning the College World Series in 1989.
Well, you know, by then they had become a consistent national powerhouse. They'd been in the Final Four of the World Series the year before, so it wasn't certainly a surprise that they got there and were in contention.
Not far from X Stadium is Wilkins Stadium, where the Shocker softball team plays. The program has really been on the rise the last few years. Women's tennis, basketball, golf have all made numerous NCAA appearances. But to me, volleyball was the one program that sort of led the resurgence in women's sports, showing what was possible at Wichita State.
Well, first of all, as you kind of touched on, there was some success over time when women's programs came into being with individual athletes in track and field and golf. But basketball, softball, volleyball, significant growth in team sports. And as you say, volleyball was one that nobody really paid any attention to. And Chris Lamb came in with a vision of what it could be. And all of that has led to a national level program.
We can also see Cessna Stadium. Wichita State, of course, no longer plays football, but a really good track and field program uses the stadium.
You can go back to Harold Manning at the 1936 Olympics in the steeplechase, and that's continued over time. Fritz Snodgrass had very strong programs back in the 50s and into the 60s, and of course Herm Wilson had great programs there, and Steve Rainbolt has continued to keep it at a high level, and so it's just sort of joined the others as being a consistent high-level national program.
You mentioned Olympic athletes from the program. Alephine Tuliamook competed in the marathon for the United States.
Harold Manning, he was Wichita State's first NCAA champion. He won the 2 mile at the 1930 NCAA championships. And then Preston Carrington in the late 60s in the long jump was an Olympian. Einars Tuparaitis, who was an NCAA champion in the 800, represented Latvia in the summer games. Sabrina Lozada Cabbage, who played basketball here, was on the Puerto Rican Olympic basketball team. The first basketball team in the Olympic Games in 1936 in Berlin. Gene Johnson, who had coached here, was the assistant coach. He was with the McPherson Globe Refiners by then. His brother Francis and Jack Ragland, who were both former Shockers, were two of the players on that team.
Thanks, Tom and Mike. That's a lot of Olympians, and I can't help but jump into present day to brag about the softball champions of 2021 and 2022. Now, those ladies have been on fire. WSU has a broad sports community with a rich history, like Coach Willie Jeffries, who coached Shocker football for 5 years before it was discontinued. I had the pleasure of talking to him in 2019 when he was recognized at the Heartland Wichita Black Chamber of Commerce Football Classic right here at Cessna Stadium.
I've been honored today, and it's a great honor when we can come back to Wichita. And I will say this, the people here, to raise a family and do good things, Wichita has been a great place for us. And out there on that field, it was very nostalgic thinking about the days that we were out there, and it was just unbelievable. I'm so grateful that I was recognized today.
Coach Jeffries became the first African-American head football coach at the NCAA Division I level when Wichita State hired him in 1979. Now let's start walking to your right. That's uphill to the east on the sidewalk to our next stop. By the way, Cessna Stadium, the one on your left, has been home to more than Shocker sports. The Kansas State Track and Field Championships are held here. Plus, Cessna Stadium has hosted concerts from the Rolling Stones. Doobie Brothers.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother. I was raised here in this living hell. You don't know my kind in your world.
You know, a lot of things are named after aircraft companies like Cessna, because Wichita is called the air capital of the world. And the futuristic part of WSU, called the Innovation Campus, is closely related with out-of-this-world aeronautics labs and research facilities. But now, back into history. Just keep moving along this sidewalk until you get to Perimeter Road and get ready to turn left on Yale.
Take this message to
you If you turned on Yale, our next stop is coming into view. This one might surprise you. The famous architect and designer Frank Lloyd Wright made this contribution to WSU history. It's called the Corbin Education Center, named for the WSU president when it was built, Henry Corbin. Take the stairs on your right and step into the courtyard to get the full effect. Here's WSU historian Jay Price to explain why this building looks so different from everything else.
Now, it didn't begin as a building for Wichita. Frank Lloyd Wright created a plan for Baghdad, Iraq, and it was going to be a new model city center that was sort of a fashion in the middle of the 20th century to create these new massive urban developments that would redesign cities. And one of the buildings of that design was the Telephone and Telegraph Building and Post Office. And there was going to be this open plan. Obviously, Baghdad gets very warm. It was designed to evoke Babylonian and Middle Eastern imagery and so forth. Then politics changes in Iraq. So those plans were scrapped, but the designs weren't. And so when Harry Corbin reaches out to Frank Lloyd Wright to create a new education center, Wright's studio essentially takes these plans, dusts off the Telephone and Telegraph Building, adapts it, and modifies it, and that will become the new education center. It's meant to get your attention. Oh, wow, what is that? What is sort of ironic in this, though, is that Corbin was designed for Baghdad, Iraq. It has these flourishes like a Middle Eastern tent at a time when the Middle East was this romantic, nostalgic place. Go into either of the light wells of the north or the south buildings. Look up and you see these kind of repeating patterns of designs. And Wright loves geometric patterns, for one thing. And he loves repeating patterns. And he loves that intersection of the square and the circle and how those interact and they're divided out and there's segments and so forth. And he loves that play of space. As horizontal as that building is, there's also a pole that's sticking up in each of those light wells. And that's another Wright feature. Wright loves that fusion of horizontal and vertical, so there's usually going to be some vertical element jabbing its way up into the sky. And you'll notice that it's lit, and so there's a lit element to that even at night. It's also designed to be a lot more comfortable in heat, so it's designed for heat. When it's 100 degrees, what that does is it allows the flow of air. And so it's a ventilation system, so air is going to come in on the cool, shady side. It's going to vent its way out. And so that's meant to be a cooling feature in the building itself. So do take a look at those. Corbin is catty-corner to a facility that we forget about in our local story, and that's the Rowcloud School, that on the other side of 21st Street was a Native American boarding school, a Presbyterian Native American boarding school operated under the guidance of Henry Rowcloud. It was never part of the University of Wichita system. In fact, it's gone by World War II. However, that's part of our story too, and it's worth remembering the Native American side of our story, part of our legacy right across the street from Corbin.
Thanks, Jay. You know, some history is not in plain sight because it's been gone for many years, but it's important just the same. Let's go back out the way we came in and head up to Perimeter Road. We'll cross it and go right.
Thank you.
Now that you're across Parameter Road, take a right on the sidewalk going west. Just keep on the sidewalk and you'll see a building across the street on your right. That's Devlin Hall. It houses the Center for Entrepreneurship, named for Tom Devlin, one of the founders of the international company Rent-A-Center, along with Frank Barton. His name is on our business school. Now we're heading to the Harvey D. Grace Memorial Chapel. To get there, keep going to the diagonal sidewalk on the west side of Hubbard Hall. So you're turning up the diagonal sidewalk by Hubbard Hall. It was opened in 1973. Hubbard was a successful business leader on many fronts and made huge donations to WSU, but may be best known for co-founding the Safe Light Auto Glass Repair Company in an auto junkyard right here in Wichita. Oh, and Maya Angelou taught a class in Hubbard Hall. Up ahead on your right, you'll see the other side of Shocker Hall. It's a unique setup called a living learning community, where groups of students studying the same field choose to live together. Turns out they do better in class. At WSU, incoming freshmen are required to live on campus. Now you have a nice stroll up to the next. Now, you can't miss the Grace Memorial Chapel with the black steeple on top. Go around to the south side. Feel free to go in if it's open. The chapel was built in 1963 as an all-faith chapel. Inside, you can see the original plaque in the foyer that says this chapel is to be open to all creeds and all races of people. It's seen a lot of weddings for current and former students. The chapel may be small, but its symbolism is mighty, representing all religions, all races, and LGBTQ+ students. Wichita State's Dr. Marsha Fleming Randall, Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer, will tell you the work of diversity, equity, and inclusion is never truly done.
Well, when I first arrived here, I came as an assistant dean in liberal arts and sciences, and I kind of noticed the campus not really being that diverse. I saw a few students here and there, but when we're on a campus, you need to see them everywhere. So I started my journey in 2007 when I first came here as an assistant dean. No matter what walk of life you're from, LGBTQA, black, white, Puerto Rican, it doesn't matter. We all have a right and a privilege to have an education. It's my job to ask, hey, can I help you? How can I assist you? Because it's only one race, and that's the human race that we have. If we don't help each other, who's going to help? I like to see people grow and be responsible. That's all. We have a calendar. If you look on there, there's a lot of stuff going on with diversity. And I always tell people, when you're trying to look for diversity, you'll find it. We're not hiding. We're right in the open. Come and ask somebody a question. We put out calendars. We put out StratCom, Shocker Blast. We put all that information in there. And also, we got a web page. Okay? All lives matter. All students matter. And with the movements that we're having, I'm glad young people are wanting to take their place. It's truly a great day to be a Shocker. But it's also a great day to be diverse. And it's a lot of work that needs to be done. And no one person can do it by themselves. And we have to stop, look, and listen, and make sure that we are paying attention. Stay woke, because a lot is happening now, and the diversity is on the move. Thank you.
And Delta Coven has been on a similar mission at WSU since 1965. Today, she serves as Associate Vice President for Student Affairs Special Programs at WSU and oversees about a dozen programs designed to help thousands of students of color.
The services include instruction, tutoring, career exploration, post-secondary exploration, assistance in completing financial aid applications, assistance in making applications to post-secondary, advising, and counseling. Today, through the TRIO and the Gear Up programs funded at Wichita State University, the U.S. Department of Education funds those programs at approximately $7.5 million a year, serving over 6,000 students. This is important to me because I was an Upward Bound student in 1965. I come from a very, very large family. And so we were not prepared to pay for a college education, but the programs helped us to see that college was a reality. And it's important to me to give back. I was a low-income, first-generation student.
Today, WSU actually has the most ethnically diverse student population of any college in Kansas. Right across from the chapel is the Radican Student Center. You can get to the next stop by cutting through it and perhaps taking a break. If it's the right time of day, you can get something to eat, shop at the Shocker store, or sit a while. You'll exit the student center by taking a right just before the Starbucks. If you'd like to take a break, just pause here and start it again when you go out the door before Starbucks. If you paused, welcome back. Hopefully you're exiting the building before Starbucks. When you get back outside, take a left on North Isley Lane. You'll be going south on it. And we'll visit Fisk Hall up on your right. head for the diagonal sidewalk, where you can see a greenhouse peeking around the corner. That sidewalk will take you right to the front entrance of Fisk Hall. It's across from the parking garage. Once you're heading up the diagonal sidewalk, go left. Fisk Hall is WSU's oldest surviving building. Again, our history expert, Jay Price.
This is Fisk Hall. It was dedicated in 1906, and it is the oldest surviving building on campus. The story of the building is that when we were Fairmount College, this was a school on the very edge of town, and students would often lodge with nearby families. But as the turn of the century unfolded, students had a need for housing, and especially for students coming in from out of town. By World War I, that gets converted into barracks for the ROTC program and so forth. This does become an infirmary. During the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918-1919, it was a fairly small location, but it did play a role in that.
Another tidbit about Fisk Hall, the grandmother of our university president, Dr. Rick Muma, worked in this building. She was also a talented concert pianist who would give faculty, staff, and students a break now and then with a pop-up concert. Now let's go straight across Wooshock Drive to the sidewalk that will take us to the final stop on your tour. You've come full circle now. The building on your left is called Henry and Hall. It was built in 1921 and was the first permanent gymnasium on campus. Now it's used by the School of Art, Design, and Creative Industries for their ceramics and sculpture programs. If you look closely, you can see Henry and Gymnasium chiseled above the door. Keep going straight towards 17th Street. While you do, also check out the building on your right. It's Wilner Auditorium, built in the 30s for drama and music. As a matter of fact, 2005 graduate Julius Thomas III studied acting here so he could go on to star as Alexander Hamilton in the smash hit Hamilton's third U.S. tour. Just imagine how proud we are. For our last stop, you'll actually have to walk on the grass to get to those three columns. You see them coming up on your left. You really have to get up close to get the real effect. It may seem like an odd thing to have on campus, three lone columns, but these columns are somewhat majestic to WSU, at least in their meaning to the university's history. We got the story behind these columns from the family responsible for them.
My name is Kelly Callan, and I am the daughter of Kathleen Edmiston, who was a very big supporter of WSU. She graduated in 1936 from here, and from then on, she was out here doing anything she could to better the university. So she really, really loved WSU. She loved the fact that we had a Carnegie Library on campus, and was very distraught when it burned down in 1964. My mother was not happy with the fact that the entire portico that was left after the fire, the columns, etc., were going to go. So she came out here and she literally stood in front of the bulldozers and said, "You're not taking these," in heels, in a skirt, dressed to the nines, looking like $1 million, standing in front of these columns and not letting the bulldozers take them. Well, they finally agreed to keeping three of these columns. And so these columns were from one of the earliest Carnegie libraries. And Wichita is very lucky to have two Carnegie libraries, one here and one downtown. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why my mother was so glad to be able to keep these, because it is unusual to have two in a city our size. So she really loved WSU. She just did, you know, anything that they wanted her to do, she would do. She was the president of what was then the Board of Regents. She was president of the Alumni Association. She served on the Ulrich Board, Advisory Board. She was on the Building Committee. The Carnegie was her passion, and so we're very fortunate to still have these. They're very regal, and at one time this was the entrance to WSU at 17th and Fairmount, so it was a nice entrance to the university, and they're just nice to have. They're just kind of fun. She really was amazing.
I hope you've enjoyed our trip through history. Your map shows you other historical spots you could visit, because we couldn't possibly tell the entire story in this walking tour. If you like, you could make one more stop. Across the street to your right is Kirby's Beer Store. A lot of amazing music and camaraderie has made it special to students and faculty. I'm Carla Eccles. Tell your friends and family about this tour. Here's WSU President Dr. Rick Muma.
I hope you feel like you know us a little better now. I also hope you'll come again sometime to explore more of our beautiful campus. You're always invited, and thank you for joining us through 125 years of history at Wichita State University.